Good morning. Welcome to the program, Walking in His Steps. I'm Pastor Tim Underwood, and I hope you'll listen as we consider Jesus Christ, who He is, and even more importantly, how He can change your life. Last week I asked the question, how can I maintain a healthy separation from sin? And listed three suggestions. Let's continue to suggestion number four. Four, I maintain a healthy separation from sin when I remember the extra vulnerability that comes while I'm being entertained. It's one thing to encounter sin in relationships, it's another to face it in the lazy boy. In relationships, we're not in charge of what everyone else says and does. There's often no off switch we can hit. Furthermore, in relationships, we can put up some defenses, at least in our own minds. When we're being entertained, however, we tend to drop our guard. We want to relax and enjoy ourselves. There is an off switch, but once the entertainment begins, we're reluctant to hit it. Number five, I maintain a healthy separation from sin when I don't mistake callousness for spiritual maturity. It doesn't bother me. It's an excuse for taking in a lot of questionable stuff. Foul language, erotic scenes, brutal violence, mockery of Christian values. Now, I realize that we have to live and survive in a sinful world and that we do become somewhat acclimated to the sin around us. This is unavoidable. But when we can't avoid sin sludge and we slurp it down anyway because it doesn't bother us, that raises questions. First, if something doesn't bother us, does that make it okay to experience? If you can go to a strip club without being bothered by what you see, does that make it acceptable? Second, why doesn't the sinful situation bother us? Is it because we're so spiritually mature that we've somehow risen above the influence of sin? Or is it just because we've gotten callous to it due to frequent exposure? Ephesians 4 warns about the hardening of their hearts caused by sin and adds that they have lost all sensitivity. While I don't want to live in a state of perpetual shock and dismay, it doesn't hurt to still be shockable, to still feel some discomfort in the presence of that which mocks God's righteous standards. Besides, voluntary exposure to sin often damages us more than we realize at the time. We may only become aware of the negative impact after the fact. Number six, I maintain a healthy separation from sin when I stay aware of my potential for backsliding. Most of us won't throw ourselves off of a spiritual cliff, but some do end up at the bottom by taking a slow descent, one small compromise at a time. I'll just go this far and then stop, we reason. Then, well, maybe one more step, but no more. If this continues, months or years later, we find ourselves doing shameful things, things we'd never imagined we'd do. Even, quote, small sins left alive and unrepented for deepen their infection and influence on us. Number seven, I maintain a healthy separation from sin when I choose my strongest influences carefully. I've never been a live in a Christian bubble sort of person. We live in a big, fascinating world with lots to learn and see, and I want to enjoy it. I've been influenced by plenty of unbelievers who can teach me something useful. Nevertheless, some caution is helpful here. We can be lured away from our firm commitment to Christ if we open ourselves up too much to the influence of those who are not committed believers. They need not even be hostile to Christ. They may sway us merely by their good-natured indifference to God. Please do not marry an unbeliever or even an uncommitted believer. If you are close to an unbeliever, which in itself can be good, pay attention to the power balance. Are you able to live consistently for Christ? To be an influencer in spiritual things, the one who is affecting change toward Christ and your friend, or are you slowly turning into the influencee, the one who is being pulled away from Christ by your unsaved friend? Pay attention to other influences as well, the shows you watch, the music you listen to, the books you read. Are they exerting too much negative spiritual influence? Find some godly people to get close to, wise people who seriously seek Jesus. These friends are invaluable influences. They're also somewhat rare. Number eight, I maintain a healthy spiritual separation from sin when I am willing to be considered weird or obnoxious. In John 15:18, Jesus makes a shocking statement. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Why would the world hate God's followers? Romans 8:7 explains the sinful mind is hostile to God. As much as we share in common with our fellow earthlings, if they are not believers, then ultimately we still reside in very different camps. The difference lies in the work of God's Spirit in our hearts. Our allegiance is now to God, and our commitment is to become like His Son Jesus, to be holy. This isn't the world's agenda. Unfortunately, spiritual standards which are clear to us will sometimes clash with the world around us. Our hesitation to do certain things may strike others as peculiar or fussy. Our moral standards may seem to be judgmental or prejudicial. And if we have to take a stand which affects the freedom of others, such as honesty in the workplace, they may be infuriated. Are we willing to go against the norm, to be seen as gullible, judgmental, stupid, or just strange? That willingness is a test of our commitment to separation. Number 9, I maintain a healthy separation from sin when I err on the side of caution. In Ephesians 5:3, Paul commands, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality." He goes on to list other sins as well. Not even a hint. In other words, don't even get close to these sins. Carnal Christians go over the sin line. Immature Christians try to get as close to the sin line as they can without going over. Mature Christians stay back a bit from the line in order to play it safe. They love the Lord so much that they'd rather be overly cautious than risk dishonoring Him. If that means avoiding certain activities and associations, then they avoid them. This isn't done with a grim, pinch-faced demeanor, but freely with joy. For them, it's a small price to pay. Holy living is worth a little caution. This is done, by the way, without expecting everyone else to be like us in these matters. Each of us must freely choose in these somewhat morally gray areas. You may have noticed that I haven't given you a specific list of activities and associations which I think we should avoid. I could. Scripture is black and white about a number of sins, drunkenness and adultery, for example. The point of this article, however, is that it isn't always easy to know how to separate from sin in a sinful world. Jesus himself was accused of being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. We're called to interact with fellow sinners and with our culture without becoming infected by them. That can be a tough challenge. Perhaps these suggestions, along with the help of the Holy Spirit, will aid us in doing so with real spiritual wisdom and prudence. To hear this broadcast again, or to read a transcript, you can go to the website of the Illinois Valley Evangelical Free Church. And we'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday morning at 10:30 at 1611 Adams Street, Ottawa, Illinois.